Hi, welcome back to Cambridge Inside Out. I'm Judy Nathans.
And I'm Robert Winters. So we were chatting a bit about things that went down at our relatively short city council meeting last night, March 18th. One of the things probably, I mean, I'd like to mention straight up front was that, you know, this for those that don't know, under the planning charter under which we operate, the city council technically gets to hire exactly three people. Right? The city manager, the city clerk, and the city auditor. Hmm. Now, in fact, it's a little more than that. More by tradition, not so much in the letter of the law, that the city council is often asked to vote to approve the deputy city manager. But honestly, that's kind of not really. I mean, in principle, I think the manager could just appoint a deputy city manager, and that would
be the end. Is that true with city department heads, too?
Yes. The city council has no say whatsoever in who gets to be city department heads, and that's all done very intentionally because...
Yeah, it can be very political.
It was a real strong history of political patronage, meaning if you vote for me, if you get me, if I'm elected here, I'm going to make sure that such and such a person
is... Well, it probably happens on a lower level. People do hire their...
You know, I think, you know, I don't think the planning charter and the prohibition against political patronage is an absolutely, you know, iron wall. You know, there is influence, you know, certainly. And some, if you happen to be an elected official and you are more friendly and you drop a nice word to the manager or whatever, I'm sure there's a little bit of favors that go back and forth. But that's totally tolerable.
But also within your own department, you might hire a friend of it. I mean, that's
that could happen.
Works,
yeah, right? It's absolutely true. But the thing is, the authority still for hiring ultimately falls to the manager.
On every position?
Yeah, but the thing is, the manager is not going to do that. That would be totally horrible micromanagement.
Right, sure.
So generally, the manager will trust the department head and the department head, and they have some human services people. That's human services, but human resource people, and they work with the personnel department to basically vet a lot of candidates and do all of that. So, I mean, for the most part, it's done pretty professionally. But one of the three positions is the city auditor. Which, you know, it's a little bit of a mystery about what the role of the city auditor is these days. But in the old days, you know, when the city councilors were not particularly expert and you didn't necessarily have a fully expert finance department, when the city manager submitted a budget, you really needed, you know, and during the year, following through afterwards, you needed, the city council wanted to have their guy who would basically kind of keep an eye on the books and make sure that the management is proceeding as it should, both in the making of the budget and, and making sure, you know, and it's not simply a necessarily a matter of making sure the decimal places are correct. You know, it was just sort of keep an eye on the financial aspect of things. So that person is the city auditor. So, James Monagle, who's a great guy, has been the auditor for a few terms now, so he was reappointed. Actually, I might have looked away, but there was a city council order calling for the reappointment of him. So
now, how is that different than the but what was Louis Di Pasquale before he was the
Louis
city?
Worked within the finance department, and he was the director of finance,
appointed by the city manager.
Yes, so he was the deputy city manager in charge of finance, just like Iram Farouk is the deputy city manager. Or I should say deputy. Assistant city manager, that's the correct term.
So what does the city auditor do?
The city auditor, for in truth, actually becomes kind of the city council's hire, but who does work within the finance department and in many respects works just like a regular city employee.
But that's are they monitoring
in principle they monitor
how the finances are getting handled?
The ultimately
but not making decisions about the finances.
No, no. But the city council, if they wanted to, they could redefine the role of the auditor and have the auditor be much more of an activist type of auditor,
like sort oversight?
Of over doing more oversight. I think that, you know, for the most part during the Plan-E era, there's been not a whole lot of need for that.
Okay.
So it, you know, so the auditor tends to just sort of do an auditing function like an auditor working for the department would, you know. But one thing you do see during the budget hearings, which will happen in May,
May. I thought they start happening.
I think the budget submission will be late April, and then the hearings will all take place in May, and leading up to the budget approval on, I think, May 20th.
Okay.
But during that, James Monocle will be sitting up there at the front table, even if it's a formality and a kind of historical relic in some ways, but you'll see James Monocle up there.
So who was the auditor before him?
A
long-term person?
A pop quiz, hey?
Well, I meant it wasn't a long-term person.
There were several.
They usually stay in the positions.
I remember Arthur Levitt was the auditor.
Oh, okay.
And then...
That makes...
But who was the auditor right before James? I'm actually forgetting now.
Well, I didn't...
Shame on me.
You knew.
All right, well, you know what I'll be doing later tonight. Right?
Yeah.
So anyway, good for James. Some other things that came up, I think it was Councillor Siddiqui's committee having to do with...
retail.
So they had a committee report, came back with some... I'm not quite sure what if there were any conclusions, but it was more of a repeat statement of the fact that the Community Development Department either isn't quite stepping up to the plate, finishing tasks that they should have finished.
Getting up.
Or maybe they need more capacity within the department to deal with some of this retail plan. But it's starting to get a little old, the notion that somehow we have to keep asking and asking and asking.
We're asking for what? To know, like, how long some places have been vacant?
You know that...
More specific information, right?
So now maybe I have to sort of switch my sympathies a little bit to the Community Development Department. Because, if the environment right now is that retail is dying on the vine in some ways, except for the flourishing new marijuana dispensary business.
Tattoo parlors
and rock and roll daycare.
Yeah.
And a few other things.
Yoga studios.
But, it's a lot of the type of retail that people want. The small businesses often fail.
The closest we get are Target.
Yeah.
Which is okay. Better than nothing.
Right.
Yeah.
But the thing is that, wanting to get retail in Cambridge to work perfectly and be really wonderful may be a really big ask right now. We may be in kind of a bad time for retail.
Well, we've talked about this before. It's my thing is, they're building all of this stuff, and now the plan is to always have retail on the bottom. And I'm thinking, what about all these other places that are empty? So what's going to go into those places?
You know, my feeling about that, and this is one
of
those...
It's all over Cambridge.
But it's almost like you have to make a cultural shift about this.
Mm.
The way I've put it this way is that building owners have to start, as long as they're not operating a two-story building, but if they have a building that's got some height, with commercial ground floor.
Well, isn't that what Mass and Main's going to be?
It is, But they have to start thinking of the commercial ground floor frontage.
You think they don't think of that?
No, that's not what I'm saying. That they have to think of it not so much as a profit center as much as sort of a part of the building, like a heating system or something, where basically it's just part of what you have to make sure is good.
So therefore offer rents that are more reasonable and get some things in there that...
Yeah, so you get your income off the whole, the building on the whole, but don't try and necessarily...
how do you know they're not doing that?
Some are, actually. I know that. And they don't announce that too loudly sometimes, but some property owners do that already. And I just think if we kind of change the focus a little bit, you'd actually create some opportunities from some of the small businesses to survive.
But some of them might want like a bar studio or a yoga versus
something else. It's true.
That's kind of unfortunate.
Well, I mean, if there's a willing tenant who's going to operate an active, successful business, then good for them. But the problem is they're talking about there's vacant storefronts and... and they're putting in artwork in some of these storefronts. I guess it's better than nothing, but I just know
the Obon Pan at Mount at Putnam and Mass Ave is gone, and the games people play is gone.
It's gone. So something's happening in that building, I guess. Yeah.
Oh, you think that's what it is?
I don't know. I know that Harvard Harvard has space upstairs, Extension School.
And I guess they're starting to vacate where they're building the Curious George or the back of that building. What was the one?
Yeah, well, so that's where
Urban Outfitters is going.
Right, so where that big project.
Right. So they may come back, but they're gone now. That was actually brought up in one of her meetings.
One of the things that I still have mixed feelings about, I mean, if you have a place that truly is vacant, And, you know, it's better to have, like, artwork in the window than nothing.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, there's something about that term, you know, the Potemkin village, you know, the make-believe village. Like pictures of retail rather than real retail.
Well, isn't it better than looking at an empty wall?
I agree with that. But the thing is that there's still something a bit on the sad side about having pretend stuff, you know, rather than real retail.
Well,
but then again, you know, retail's just it's a tough nut to crack these days, you know?
Well, it's the rents that people have to pay, which is
Yeah, and hopefully, you know, I think, personally, I think that we're going through about a 10 to 15 year reshuffling of the way the...
Commerce and online, you know, and everything. Yeah.
You know, crazy adjustments in rent levels, which are just not sustainable. So at some point, some sort of equilibrium starts to happen. And then hopefully when things stabilize, you know, in a few years, maybe retail people go, oh, this works fine, you know.
Yeah.
We'll see. Wow. Maybe rents will, for homes and residents will work better, too.
It seems like restaurants are going, juice bars, restaurants, the daycare.
One of the things we always had concerns about in Central Square back 20 years ago, 25 years ago even, was that there seemed to be some restaurants and bars, some of which were going to be successful, some of which were not. But a lot of the sort of more traditional retail, like, you know, the old saw, you know, where do you go to buy a pair of socks, right?
Corcoran.
Is it, you know, right.
So there were
places like that in Central Square.
Target at least, you can buy a pair of socks.
I know.
It's not unreasonable.
Right, but it's sort of like when supermarkets disappear and are replaced by convenience stores that have a limited supply of groceries.
Well, a lot of these supermarkets also are carrying that kind of stuff.
Yeah, yeah. But, so things are redefining themselves to some degree, but you know, the days of being able to...
One-stop shopping.
You know, I mean, listen, we all remember going into the Woolworths. You could buy lunch, a parakeet, and some socks.
Parakeet, okay.
You used to be able to buy parakeets in Woolworths, right? So
some of the outer towns still have. There's a place in Belmont, I think, that still has a store. You know, I think in the smaller communities where you still have a little main street, there's some places, maybe because they own their buildings, they're surviving.
But I haven't heard anything come out of a retail report or recommendations, even in some of those committee hearings that we went to, that really have a great vision for you know, how retail is really going to be. So
well, because I think they don't know.
I don't think they know, and that's why you know, if I was the community development department and I had some counselors saying, well, where's the report? Where's the report?
And is that what they want to know from them? I thought they just want to know what's the status of these places.
I don't even know for sure. But the point is, if all you knew is what you were bringing back was something that was going to be seen as disappointing, I could see how you might not want to bring it forward.
Well,
is
it related at all to the table of uses that hasn't gotten...
Well, that's redone? Another... That's something that...
To me, that's related.
It is related.
Because it's related to zoning, right? Where you can put certain kinds of...
And that's something that's very substantial and timely. And is to just come back and basically say, listen, there are certain commercial zones where if a person's going to operate, for example, in Central Square,
a
dentist's office, that they shouldn't have to go for a variance. Or if they want to serve cheesecake rather than bagels, they shouldn't have to go to the Board of Zoning Appeals.
Oh, and those are the things that really have to be changed because they're very archaic.
Some of them are just ridiculous. And I don't personally see any rationale for waiting and waiting and waiting, because you could change them again in the future.
Right.
But in the meantime, you know, opportunities are lost, and I just think we should do something.
Yeah.
You know, make it so. Yeah. So.
Oh boy.
Just one quickie here. I don't know if I have the date of it here. Actually, I think I do. There's one of my favorite events, personally, that happens every year, is that the city does a kind of a celebratory event, I think it's in May, for the Outstanding City of Cambridge Employee Awards. Now, I have to say, it's the main people who come to these things are city employees and their families.
Yeah.
But I go to them pretty ritually. Because there are a lot of these people who are getting awards who I've known and, you know, I've interacted with over the years, and I'm really, really happy for them.
Okay.
You know? And it's actually a pretty emotional event for some folks, too. But anyway, so for those that know, you know, anybody can actually nominate a city employee for such awards. I think the deadline for submissions is April 12th, so there's plenty of time to do it still. And the awards will be they'll be awarded at a special awards right ceremony.
Is that this?
Yeah, we could show it right here, right? Okay. So so there's a list of criteria that one could use to sort of basically give you an idea of what they're looking for.
Mm-hmm.
But let me tell you, this runs from department heads down to laborers working, hauling trash for the public works department. This is definitely not sort of snob appeal award.
Right.
It's every level of worker working for the city of Cambridge from top to bottom.
Yeah.
So, and I just think it's a great, great thing.
By April 12th, and you can do it online.
Exactly. And, as I say, the award ceremony will be on Friday, May 10th.
May 10th.
Right?
Okay.
But, I just thought that was something that's
nice.
Worth, don't just gripe about the city, come and celebrate when people actually do a great job, so anyway, that's something worth mentioning. There are a few things that I maybe we could mention here on the city calendar that are coming up. I don't know how arcane zoning related ones are to everybody, but tonight at the planning board, there's actually the first public hearing for the zoning petition that was filed by the trustees for the Cambridge, Cambridge Site Galleria. Not enough people, maybe down in East Cambridge, they're talking about it. But the thing is that that's basically just been like a retail mall since it was first set up.
Where are we talking now? Oh, the gallery.
Down around Leachmere Canal.
Oh, they want to redo that, kind of what they're doing over. Have you seen Arsenal?
Yes, I have.
That's what they're doing over there.
So that's a trend that's happening all over the place. Yeah. That pure
converting
retail
malls
are
residential.
There's some residential
with retail at the bottom,
right?
Yeah.
And having it be sort of a
mixed use. People have their services there.
Yeah, and there's also some design changes in the way the whole thing could operate. Mm. Right now it's sort of like there's just this wall on First Street.
So this is it, the Cambridge PUD is what it is.
So that's having its first hearing tonight at 6:30 at the planning board up at the City Hall Annex. And later on, I think in April, is the City Council's Ordinance Committee will then give it their hearing as well. One of the things that's actually kind of interesting about this one, first off, there's potential controversy in that some of the parking of the Galleria Mall that was part of the plans for where the courthouse building is. And honestly, I don't know what's happening with the courthouse now. I haven't heard anything
more
about it.
People that live around there have issues around that.
But the thing is that keep it on your radar because something happening with the courthouse, if something decent comes out of it, together with something decent happening at the Galleria Mall, which are like a block and a half away from each other, actually has the potential to completely reshape that area.
True.
Redefine it in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
Some people may like that, some people may not like that, but I think it's something really worth paying attention to.
So much development going on.
Yeah, but some of these things they're reshaping of existing developments, oftentimes for the better.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to be hopeful about it. One of the things that's kind of an interesting twist to this one is that the sort of the prime consultant back when the Galleria Mall was being laid out was Dennis Carlone.
Oh.
And he's now city councilor. So
he has a lot of inside
So
knowledge.
He has probably the best seat in the house.
Good reason to keep him on board, I guess.
So no, this is his expertise, and I think somebody with
those
skills.
There's nobody else on the council that has that. Right?
That's exactly right. Yeah. So, I always said this, even with Volpe, I said there are times when it's time for somebody like Dennis Carlone to step up and sort of be the man of the hour.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is definitely such a time.
He's the man of the
I mean, the thing is that even he would probably acknowledge that the development of the Cambridge Side Galleria at the time, which is what, that was the 1980s?
I don't know.
It was still done back when people thought of malls as suburban things.
Yeah.
So auto-centric, the outer wall is like a big...
But it never bothered me as a mall. To me, it was an urban kind of mall experience. It had the food court, and you could get there without driving.
Yeah, that's right.
It really wasn't bad.
No, it wasn't bad, but the thing is that
But
First Street, in many respects, has been a complete failure.
Oh, right? Because of, it's, I see what you're saying.
The mall
sure.
side is just yeah, a big, it's like, a big it's wall. Like, it's like yeah. this big wall, empty wall mm-hmm. with no retail integrated into it. I hope they can do something about that.
Yeah, it'll probably be more open to the street.
And then having a double-loaded retail type of real street, have First Street feel that way. Because even the businesses on the other side of First Street have often...
Well, isn't it a hotel now? Wait, there's like condo further down. It's like
Graves Landing. Yeah, Thomas Graves Landing is integrated into that when you wrap around the canal, you know.
And but even at the other end.
Right, but the thing is that you know if you really take a big picture and you envision it, there's that word again, right? Doing something good with the courthouse building, doing something good with the City of Cambridge garage, which is right there, which actually has retail that has never worked on it. Together with this redefinition of the Cambridge Side Galleria and the proximity to the river, you know, all of these things have a lot of potential for
but
something great.
But it's not
great.
The same developer, though. That's the problem. You have different
Well, and that's
players.
Why you need to have planning boards and city councilors who basically make sure that a good unified plan grows out of this. Yeah, and I really hope that happens. And so again, for those of you who sort of think city planning matters... it's not that we talked about any of this at Envision Cambridge, I'll tell you that much.
That's
another matter, I suppose. So I guess maybe the last thing maybe worth mentioning is the usual sort of annoying reality. So we do say there's, was it 2 weeks ago there was the hearing on that overlay proposal?
The Housing Committee.
Right, the Housing Committee.
They're having one tomorrow night.
And there's another one tomorrow night, which is on the
20th. Going to be packed again, because already got notices for...
And then the 28th, right? So it's becoming...
They're all televised, so you don't...
Yeah, but it's becoming kind of like a bullfight in a way, where you've got, you know, the Better Cambridge people say contacting everybody on their mailing list, and they just pack the meeting, you know, and then they say, see, this is what the people say, right?
But then. Defense, I do see different kinds of people actually under that umbrella, both long-term Cambridge residents, and it's not just...
Well, I think, it's not just the ABC people who are pulling them out. It was also, you know, the Justice Start group has their own list, too.
Oh, do they?
Yeah, because I see a lot of the same faces of the ones which show up at the Community Preservation Act meetings arguing in favor of 80% of CPA money for housing projects, you know. But anyway, anyway, there's a lot of just sort of competitive seat filling that seems to be happening at these hearings now. And this is really just the preliminary, because once the Housing Committee finishes with their series of three, then they still have, somebody has to propose some actual hard zoning language.
Right.
And then has to go through the Ordinance Committee process. And, you know, we'll see where it goes. It is absolutely becoming a very politicized matter.
So many misfacts, too.
On all sides.
Yeah.
And, you know, so last night it was, you know, and there's been some modifications to the original proposals. So so when people are objecting to or supporting one thing, that thing they like or dislike may not even be what's on the table right now, which doesn't help.
Yeah.
There was some kind of hard-to-read event at the council meeting last night where... Councillor Zondervan offered his thoughts, my initial thoughts,
but it
basically read like the threads of some alternate proposals, you know, like saying, well, this should be concentrated on the corridors, some major corridors.
Well, they've already said that kind of anyway. That's not new, is it?
See, that's a confluence of things.
I'm confused.
So the Envision process was talking about how new development in Cambridge should be concentrated along the corridors and in the squares.
Yeah.
And that was completely separate from the discussion that grew out of the Housing Working Group about where you should put in some of these new public housing units.
Which is more... change zoning.
Right.
Okay.
So now when people say, well, we should be doing along the corridors, they're kind of conflating the two.
Yeah.
Which I think is kind of wrongheaded. And then that led to, you know, one proposal saying, well, if you want to focus, put them just on the corridors, then, you know, what about streets connecting these corridors where there's just very close to bus routes and whatever, you know? What I'm seeing really is just city councilors taking sides, you know, and I can absolutely hear the talking points of this particular faction being spoken by certain city councilors, you know, like when they made reference to anybody who would question this overlay proposal is somehow they likening them to the redlining of banks back in the 1940s and 50s.
Yeah.
And I just think that's ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, I heard that too.
You know, but you know, the you know, Jesse Kantz and Benninoff and the ABC crowd, you know, they put that word redlining and all that, and then council is just parroted back. You know?
I don't see it that way. Do you?
I don't see it that way at all, you know. So I just think there's a lot of really serious problems with this, and I think there's a lot of need for a more honest conversation about this, rather than just trying to ram it through so you can say I'm the person who pushed this through or not, you know, or finger pointing somebody who stands in the way of it.
I just think it needs to be talked about, and I guess it's just another way. These are things that I think need to be. These are my thoughts. I didn't see it as any.
Yeah, but the thing is that if the sole forums are just these few committee hearings, which are packed with a few individuals, and then this advocacy group, that advocacy group, and another one here, most of the people in the city are still not in any way involved in this discussion at all.
But that's true on many things.
I know.
But, you know, there's just so much you're gonna get. I mean, people did go get the thing about the trees. That was going to every household, right?
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
Anyway,
we'll see how that flies.
Out. Yeah. So.
You know, the equinox is tomorrow.
Right.
At 5:38.
There is a peace vigil.
There is a peace vigil
at 7 tonight in front of City Hall, which is there's also a school committee meeting planned. But
anyway,
I don't know how that's gonna.
Yeah. So anyway, so check the calendars.
Yes.
And enjoy the spring.
And we'll be here next Tuesday.
And we'll be presumably we'll be here next Tuesday.
Right. Okay.
Right. So anyway, on that note, we'll see you another week on Cambridge Inside Out.
Night.